Emily D.
Hi, my name is Emily and I'm an addict.
Hi, Emily.
My clean date is October 18th, 2021, and my home group is Survival in Florence, Alabama. So, surrendering your will. You know, I feel like I lived by my will for so long in active addiction, and even when I wanted to get clean, I was still doing it by my will, and I kept thinking I could trade one drug for the other or do something different, and I kept trying to do it on my own over and over and over again. And it wasn't until I hit my point of desperation that I realized I couldn't do it on my own. And I feel like that was my first point of true surrender of me thinking, you know, like, to the God of my understanding, okay, take it, I can't do it anymore. And I had actually met somebody in NA where I worked, and I was still trying to, you know, trade things out and whatever, and saying that I could be clean but drink and, you know, all the things we do. And when I hit the point of desperation and I got to the point of surrender, I called her and I was like, I don't know what you're doing there. I don't know how you're doing it, but I want that. Like, so I started doing what she was doing, and I started coming to meetings, and I started taking suggestions as best that I could. Not all the time, but the best that I could. And I learned that surrender was something that I had to wake up and choose to do every day. There are so many things in my life that I look at, and there's so much surrender in it that's a lot like when I got clean. I was in a marriage when I got married when I was like 6 months clean, I think, 9 months, something like that. Terrible idea. Do not recommend it. With somebody that I met while I was in active addiction. So, you know, there's that. And it ended up being super toxic, and it jeopardized my recovery, and it was a lot like quitting drugs, because I realized that I was clean and I was working a program to the best of my ability at that time, right? But she was kind of a drug too, because it was just like an active addiction. It was so toxic and it hurt me, but she hurt me. But I kept coming back and kept doing it. I kept showing up to meetings. I kept working a program, but I wasn't connecting that that was just as bad. And so I stayed in that for 3 years, something, that relationship, 3 or 4 years, something. Fuck, I don't know. And I stayed until it got to the point that I was at desperation again. And I was broken. And my breaking point, I remember laying curled up in a ball on our bed, begging the God of my understanding, please don't let me do this again. Because I was letting someone control when I went to meetings and what I did in my program. And, you know, I was always told what you put before your recovery, you will lose. And I was about to lose it all because I put her before my recovery. And thank God I realized it and I left. And I kept saying, like, I'm going to get this done and this done and that done before I leave, because I got to get my ducks in a row, right? And then this guy I call my NA dad was like, hey, you know, you don't have to have your, like, they can be in a row, but they don't have to be facing the same way. Like, and I'm like, well, shit, like, okay. And then God ended up doing for me what I couldn't do for myself. And one day I just fucking broke. Sorry, guys. I just broke. And I told her over the phone. And I surrendered to the fact that I couldn't do it anymore. And God was showing me all these signs that I needed to get out. And I just did. And I stepped out on faith and I surrendered. And I didn't have a plan. I thought I did, but I didn't have a plan. And my sponsor kept being like, yeah, we'll see if you make it a few more months. Like, so, but it worked, and it was hell. It was painful. It was all the things, but it made me stronger in my recovery. And it gave me experience, strength, and hope that I could pass on to other people that were going through the same thing, right? And, you know, backtrack, because, you know, I'm all over the place, but it's fine. I had a little over 2 years clean, and I was looking for a sponsor, and my best friend was like, hey, I know this chick in Nashville. I was like, I ain't calling somebody from out of town that I don't know. You've lost your mind. Like, and I fought it. And I was like, I can find somebody else. And she was like, I'm telling you, I think y'all are going to match. Like, whatever, right? I did not want to do it. And that was another point of surrender, right? Because she finally looked at me and she was like, do you want to call her or do you want to die? It's that simple. You're still in the same place. And so I called and I surrendered. And she's my sponsor now and she's great, right? Like, and she's stuck with me and loved me through all the hard surrenders of the divorce and all the things. But, you know, when I first came into the rooms, I really liked that I could have the God of my understanding. I grew up with a hellfire and brimstone God that was condemning me to death and, you know, all the things. And everybody would say, just pray about it. You got to pray about it. Trust your higher power. And I rolled with it. You know what I mean? Like, I was like, oh, okay, bet. Yeah, I can do that. But in the back of my head, I'm like, why would he love me? Why would I trust somebody or something that I've always been basically taught hated me? And it took me a long time to really, you know, they say that your higher power can change. And it took me a long time to be like, hey, that's not got to be what it is. Like, Narcotics Anonymous taught me that my higher power could be whatever I chose for it to be, as long as it was greater than me and loving. And surrender got a little bit easier when I learned who my higher power really was. And I learned that he could be my higher power that I call God, but it not be the same God as what my parents have or whoever has. And that's when surrender got, you know, it was, I wouldn't say surrender's easy, but it made it more relatable. It made it seem in my reach of being able to be like, oh, okay, like, I can give you this. And, like, I be living in my will all the time, man. Like, I still do. And, you know, that's just like speaking today. Like, my will was saying, like, you ain't getting up in front of all them people, like, let's bounce. Let's just roll out, right? But the God of my understanding is like, no, you're going to get up there and you're just going to talk. And so here I am, and I'm just talking. And doing what I do best, I guess. But, you know, I think it's cool how surrender goes all through the steps and all through our recovery. And, like, I did. Like, I did think that it was just when I first came in, that was surrender and that was it and it was done, but it's not. And there are days, you know, like I said, I still live in my will. Like, there are days I wake up and I do what Emily wants to do, but what Emily wants to do doesn't always work. It never works. It's awful. Like, and you would think time after time again, I would learn that Emily's will doesn't work. But surrendering to God's will isn't always easy. It wasn't easy to call someone random that I didn't know. As easy as that sounds, it wasn't. It wasn't easy to leave my marriage. It wasn't easy to put down drugs. But all of these things, when I follow the will of God and I surrender, things start falling into place. And even when it's not easy, it ends up worth it. And new possibilities open and new people come into my life that are better than, I don't know, you know, like, they're just better. Like, they're better for me. They're not toxic. They're supportive of my recovery. And that's all I want in my life today. And I want people that are good for my recovery and that call me out and be like, hey, you're not surrendering, period. Like, you're doing exactly what Emily wants to do again. And I've learned to also be okay with that. To be okay with, let's go to bed and take the win and try again tomorrow. Because some days, that's what it is. It's just waking up and getting through the day. But I don't know, man. It's just, Narcotics Anonymous has taught me how to live and continues to teach me how to live. And if I didn't surrender the first time, the second time, all the times, I wouldn't be standing here because I would be out getting high. I wouldn't be able, it wouldn't be possible for Narcotics Anonymous to teach me how to live. It wouldn't be possible for me to know all these people and make amends with people and have amazing people in my life that were in my life before that have forgave me, people that are new that came in. I wouldn't have all these blessings of recovery if I didn't surrender, because that's the basis of it. Like, that's kind of where it starts. And yeah, I'm just rambling. I don't know how long I've been rambling, probably not long enough. But yeah, it's just, sorry guys, I had to take a minute. I don't know where I would be without surrender. I remember the last night that I used. I remember the feeling of being so powerless. Having powerlessness. And really having that point of, I really can't do this. Like, and I was so mad. Like, surrendering sometimes makes me so mad because my ego tells me that I can do it myself. And I try. And my ego continues to tell me, like, it's fine, you can figure it out. You don't have to call that person in recovery. You don't have to call your sponsor. You don't have to ask these questions. You don't have to make little surrenders because you can figure it out on your own. And that's my disease talking to me. And I can't do that. And I have to remind myself every day that I didn't get where I am by doing it on my own. I'm grateful for everyone in this room and all the rooms of Narcotics Anonymous and not having to do it alone anymore. And I know I probably haven't talked long enough, but at this point I think I'm going to start rambling. So thanks for letting me share, guys.
Okay. And we have Mike E. to close us out.
Mike, I'm Nettie. Good job, buddy. Oh, man, Emily, you did a great job. We're going to cut this short. I don't have anything to follow that up with. We can circle up and close now. Mike, I'm Nettie. Thank you for this opportunity from out of the darkness. I'm going to tell you how this is going to go. I'm going to come up here and I'm going to give y'all a little bit of surface stuff, you know, make everything look real good. I'm going to go ahead and put the bow on it and everything else. Then chances are I'm going to get real fucking honest. I'm going to start crying and I'm going to be fucking okay with it. Because I don't come to Alabama that often. Okay? The last time I came to Alabama, I fell 17 feet, broke my collarbone, broke a rib, ended up with a concussion. Now let's talk about surrendering my will. It's easy to talk about whenever I was fucking using. My will was fucked up. I found myself in a position where I could not bathe myself. I could not dress myself. I could wipe my own ass successfully. And I'm grateful for that because me and my wife are not on that level of intimacy. And I didn't like it because I grew up when a man was a motherfucking man. You know, we fight bears and shit. A lot of people in here have the beard that I'm supposed to because I'm a manly man. You know, I go out and chase women, I knock them off, I leave them with babies, and, you know, do what I want to because I'm a man. I don't do dishes because I'm a man.
Come on.
That's
right. And that's a fixed idea because I'm a bad motherfucker.
Come on, baby. Come on, baby.
I kick in doors and I rob people.
Yeah.
That's my fucking will. It does not fit in a new way of life. My will is if my previous wife's not this one. Did not act right, I was going to end up in jail for a 13-hour hold in the state of Tennessee. Because I'm selfish and self-centered and I'm full of fear and I still at times believe I am that man. I'm not soft. I'm not no punk bitch motherfucker.
Come on,
man.
Come on.
I wear a motherfucking cape. Until I find myself getting out of the shower and I've only washed half my fucking body and I had to ask for help to get dried the fuck off.
Come on, man.
Now what the fuck do we do? After people had asked me if I needed help, no, I'm a motherfucking man. With my piece of beard. And I ain't ever fought no fucking bear. You know. I fought a big girl one time, but she whooped my ass. We don't ask for help. Why the fuck would we ask for help? We're men and tough ass women. Oh. What I found out lately, it is still okay to surrender my fucking will because my best ideas will get me fucked up, and that does not just mean high. I'm an alpha male, and I've got to ask my wife to come dry me off, put fucking deodorant on me like I'm some fucking kid. And the only thing I'm holding on to is that I can wipe my ass successfully. And the fear that comes with it. Because, you know, I remember the surrender that I gave whenever I got tired of being in that fucking dope house. And I could not stop fucking using. And I made yet another decision to get clean. And I remember the fear, because I'm going to tell you, I've been coming around this program since 1995. I'm not a weekend warrior, because I'm a man. I came through for 8 years. I came through for 4 years. And I'm back so far, I think, 9 years successfully. Because I start running off self-fucking-will every time. And guess what? It generally comes with some chick I done picked up at a fucking meeting. Or outside of a meeting. Because I forget that I'm powerless and I have no fucking control. And I start running off self-will. I'm going to tell you, if I start running low on money, you know, I don't start things about, oh, well, you know, I can do a little extra job, you know, make some more. No, I go back to wanting to kick in fucking doors. I'm 50 years old. I got one more good kick. Okay?
Oh,
I'm going to be crippled. But I think that my self-will is the best fucking idea. They told me, they're just like, you know what? There's no spiritual broke motherfuckers. I'm like, oh, well, I got to keep money. Because money is what keeps me fucking spiritual, right? That's how I measure my spirituality. How much fucking money I got. I've got $3 in my pocket. Okay? My self-will is I don't want to come up here and get vulnerable and tell y'all that this is how far I can raise my arm up. Hold on right there. Okay? And I'm actually scared that it's going to affect me for the rest of my life. Not the financial part, but the emotional part, because that's where it fucking gets me at. And I'm not apologizing for cussing. Okay? My using wasn't PG.
Watch out.
Okay?
Watch out.
I've done more shit behind fucking dumpsters than I've thrown in fucking dumpsters. I've received another opportunity to be good to myself today. To love myself today. To sit the fuck still. That is not my will. You know, I come in here and they're like, man, pick a God. You know, it's like the merchandise over here. Pick a shirt, pick a God. It's of your understanding.
Come on,
I'm like, hold on, so I ain't got to deal with this motherfucker that's sending me to hell? They're like, no.
Come on, Mike.
But they say it. That worked for them. It don't work for me. The God of my understanding's will is of love, joy, and peace. Yeah. And if I deserve it, everybody in this motherfucking room deserve it.
Yes,
I'm going to put my arm down because I felt like a cripple. Because that's how I feel on most fucking days. But the blessings that I've received, I don't have to be that motherfucker. I don't have to be that man's man. I don't have to. I can be the 4-year-old boy sitting in the fucking corner crying, wondering who's going to put another fucking cigarette out on me. Okay? I can be the 4-year-old boy just waiting on the next fucking beating. But that's not my fucking life today. My self-will. It's my third marriage. 2.5 of them has been run off self-will. This marriage, we alternate, so it's 50-50. It's 10-90. Not in my favor. The more that I am God-centered, instead of running off self-fucking will, my life is so much fucking better. Some days, I don't know what's best for me. You know, whenever I first came around, I had hair, and I was 20, and I may have been arrogant. And I'd come up with yet another fucking problem. And the solution was, let it go. You know, every problem, let it go. How the fuck do I let it go? Why am I only getting half information? You know, is there like a switch? Sometimes I think that we forget that the newer member doesn't know how to just let it go.
Right.
Yeah. You know, I was sitting there in tears because Emily reminded me of my daughter.
Come on.
And what I do is what was done to me. I try to fix problems with money. Still today, I pay for love and affection and attention and from my children that don't fucking talk to me.
Come on, man.
With 9 years clean. Because I did not get everything back instantly. Because I still have to work for stuff. And it's just not just right there. The thing is, I'm not a fucking victim. I volunteered for it their whole fucking life. How in the fuck am I going to ask them to trust me whenever some days I don't trust me?
Right.
What my sponsor tells me is, my sponsor is old, like 112. Soft-spoken. Hugs for 30 seconds, you know. 3 seconds before you kind of feel violated. And the nerve of him, he says, whenever it stops being about them, you will get freedom. Because it's not about them. They're not the ones that are sitting here trying to figure out what next to fucking buy.
Right. Wow. Right.
You know? They're not the ones that wake up in the middle of the night trying to figure out how I can budget in some self-fucking-will. That's me. This program was wrote about us. You know, children and the mother baby, you know, they got their own fucking program. I'm here for me to figure out how the fuck to live. so that my first instinct is not to kick in the fucking door. Or if the dishes ain't done, that, you know, me and my wife, boy, we got problems. You know, and the scary part is, I don't think she'll call the cops. I think she might just whoop my ass. And it's safe to see, it's okay for her to have a gun. Not me.
Come on, man.
Her will is life insurance. Not me. My will always gets me into trouble, but I have to figure out through the steps how to surrender it. Do you know surrender is mentioned in the basic text like 40-something fucking times? It may be important, but I also have to figure out how the fuck to surrender some shit. You know, surrender is for...
Come on.
For people that are not us. Those other people. You know, the people that just give up and fold. Because you know what? We hold on to some shit.
We, come on.
Yeah, because we ain't no weak motherfuckers. Yeah, we'll put motherfucking claw marks into resentment that nobody else thinks about, but we're going to hold on to it.
Yeah.
Man.
Boy, I'll hug a motherfucker I can't stand, but I still got that resentment, you know. I'm not letting go.
Yeah.
I got to get my fucking fingernails cut so I don't leave claw marks and shit. Because I don't want to look like one of them other people. Because that'll challenge my fucking manhood. Because I'm a man's man. Surrender, I'm not giving up. I'm giving into a program of Narcotics Anonymous that'll save my crusty ass and keep me out from behind the fucking dumpster, keep me out of the 13-hour holds. That will give me a loving and caring fucking life that we all deserve. Regardless of what kind of piece of shit, pimp, player, hole, trick, whatever, if we're just really good at it, if we throw a little twist on there, whatever, it don't fucking matter. You are the best. We all deserve this. Yeah, I'm kind of fucking tacky. Okay? My using was not beautiful. I had no problem surrendering while I was fucking using. I did whatever I had to do to get more. Some shit I'm not proud of. Some of the shit, boy, I'm pretty fucking proud of myself. You know? I didn't know I had it in me. You know? Let's talk about assets now. You know, sometimes I get stuck on image time. You know, because I don't want to sit up here with my arm like this because it's comfortable, or down like this because it's too comfortable. Because, you know, I got a fucking image. Look at me, boy, I'm 6'2". I fight bears because I'm a man. Because I need attention, you know, like a fucking billboard. But then I have insecurities because I run. That's one of my skills right there. Because I want to be that motherfucker. You know, I want to be popular in an anonymous program. Okay? I want to be that motherfucker. We all do. You know? Thing is, I can barely fucking read. Okay? I can't comprehend shit. You know? I can see numbers on checks. You know? And I'm happy with it. Because at the end of the day, I have to surrender some shit that I grew up and I was told that I had a learning disability. In reality, I just couldn't fucking see. Okay? But I have to be cold. Got to be cold. You know? Look, I'm sweating like a whore in church right now. Okay? That's how fucking cool I am. Okay? Because I run off image time because that's my self-will. But the real deal is if I take the mask off, I'm still insecure motherfucker. Okay, because I shame and guilt myself harder than anybody else could have. And the only way to surrender that shit is to get in front of that shit. Talk about that shit. Expose that shit. Now, why the fuck would I want to expose myself? Because then y'all will not believe that I'm a man. That I can fight a bear. Teddy bear. How cool would that be? What am I scared of? You're going to judge me? Y'all motherfuckers are amateurs whenever it comes to judging me.
Come on now.
Now, who the fuck I am? Most days is insecure. I worry about what the fuck most of y'all think. So, a couple of y'all think about me. You know, I had to get them to shake my head this morning because I didn't want any stubble. You know? Because my will says that I have to impress people. I came all the way from Nashville. Who the fuck cares? I'm a fucking addict. Hell. I would have drove that far for a crumb of dope or a piece of... Yep. Or even just an opportunity at it. Hey, you let me look at it, I'll drive 2 hours. Oh. Yep. Because I'm a bad motherfucker. I'm a man's man. I fight bears. You know, clean cut, everything, you know, real professional shit. Ain't got no goddamn teeth.
Come on, Mike.
This is who the fuck I am.
Come on, Mike.
This is one of my biggest insecurities.
Yeah.
My will says, you're supposed, this is not the 90s. You're supposed to have fucking teeth now. I had lunch stuck in there. So,
yeah! Woo! Come on, Mike.
Thing is, it's okay for me to be me,
yeah,
as long as I'm walking in God's will. The God of my understanding. The God of your understanding may get me fucked up. Okay? And now if you come trying to borrow my money, you might get fucked up too. Oh.
Yes, sir.
I am who the fuck I am. Just like everybody else, I'm just learning to try to be a better fucking person.
Yeah.
Are you the guy that's going to cut me off?
You got plenty of time.
You're about the size of a bear, mother.
Okay. You got 15 minutes.
15 minutes. I can't swing my right arm.
This will be all right.
Okay. Well, we're going to look like some fucking gimps up here, ain't we? Oh. And luckily, this is available to us all.
Yes.
You know, we all qualify, but we got to put in fucking work.
Right.
You know, quick question. How many newcomers are up in here? Three? Hell yeah. Hell yeah. Yeah. I'm going to give you a heads up, newcomers. They got signs on these front rows that say these are for y'all. I don't know why. You know, if you're here today, give yourself a break. Be yourself. You belong. You're loved, regardless of whatever grimy shit that you think you've done. Any shit that you think that you've invented, that you've done. The shit that you've been lying about outside and smoking and beefing it up. don't like that one. Oh. You belong. If you're only talking to the newcomer people that you came with, remember, two dead batteries will not jumpstart a motherfucking car. You're only going to get fed by people who have already been fed. Your experience, strength, and hopes comes from people who already have fucking experience. That other motherfucker with 3 days clean is a fucking lying.
Right.
Ladies. That is what he wants. It's not your experience.
What?
It is nothing in a related. That is self-will. Only because that's what I've practiced. In the last 30 years, I've had 76 relationships. Because I've run off self-will. My second wife, I pulled out of the rehab because we were so in love, and I had 4 or 5 years clean. I sponsored the fuck out of her. And then she fucked around and got some self-esteem and a real sponsor. What happened then? Then I had to change up my game. Boy, I had to kick it up. And then we can't go to meetings. Hell, fuck it, we're going to get high. Self-will. Matter of fact, in that situation, self-will was, okay, this is first time I relapsed. And talk her into it. Okay? She had like 4 years clean. I had 8 years clean, you know. And I didn't want to relapse alone. Really, I didn't want to hear that bullshit whenever I relapsed.
Come on, Mike.
And I was so self-centered that I did not want to go down by myself. So what I did, I took the hostage that I'd already had for 4 years. Fuck. Oh. Fuck it. Deal with it. Oh, I didn't glue them in. Oh. The same hostage that I had had for 4 years finally got some fucking sense about her. Because we were on very different levels of using. Our person was on a level where I may not come home for 3 or 4 days. You know, and she was on a level where she could watch TV and eat popcorn. And she got sick of it. She left. She took the kids. One of the hardest things that I'd ever had to deal with. Luckily, I had drugs. And the damage and pain that I set in and put on my children that I love to death and I'd do anything for, and you know, because I'm a great dad and you know, I know all the fucking words to it, you know. Oh, my self-will and this disease of addiction crushed a fucking family. I wasn't too worried about her. I mean, I'd already been married before. Oh, but my kids. You know, learning to live with the acceptance of the pain that my self-will has put on other people. Because, you know, I want everybody to think I was a great fucking father. I wasn't. I was a fucking junkie. I caused fucking harm. Not to just myself, but to them. I've done shit that I wouldn't forgive motherfuckers for, and I expect them to just, I'm clean again, here, oh, daddy's back. That's not how the fuck it works. The thing is, I have to get right with myself through the steps and traditions of Narcotics Anonymous, because that's the only fellowship I fuck with, to live with the pain and guilt. Damn, I wasn't trying to run newcomers off. I just told you he lied. Oh. The pain and guilt that I have inside, and the pain and guilt that I hold on to, is my fucking will. Because freedom from active addiction is not just the drugs. You take drugs away, Mike is still fucking there. This one. I can say I don't like you, but I'm going to tell you, the person in the mirror is the motherfucker that I've always been after. The pain, it eases up through step work. I can find out that I can love myself and I'm worthy. And I deserve to be good to myself. Just like every fucking body in this room. Everybody deserves a chance. I'm not going to get along with everybody because I'm loud. I'm obnoxious. Somebody needs to wake up. Oh. And sometimes I catch myself, because one thing about the steps is the motherfucking awareness. It'll fuck you up every time. Same shit that I got away with 20 years ago, I can't do now because it makes me feel uncomfortable. If it keeps me up in the middle of the night, or wakes me up, because besides me having to go pee in the middle of the night, we have a fucking problem. When my life is so fucking uncomfortable because of my behavior, I realize that I'm living in self-will. And I have to let that shit go. How do I let it go? I work the motherfucking steps. I ask, talk to my sponsor. I ask other people, man, how exactly did you let this go? And then I've got other people in my life be like, man, you just running off self. What? Fuck you, I'm a man. Because we're each other's eyes and ears. We're not always just talking shit about each other. Sometimes it's just fucking concern. Because my behavior all the time is not great all the time. Because this program is not for perfect people. It does not make perfect people. Okay? It gives people a life worth fucking living where we don't have to hate ourselves. And we can start giving the fuck. And everybody is fucking worth it. You know, I keep saying that because I want everybody to know that even if you don't think that you belong here, and this shit ain't gonna work for you, and they some bullshit, boy, they just trying to fuck me, and you know, blah, blah, blah. You know, you belong here. You can get help here. You don't have to sit with them motherfuckers inside your head. Up here is the worst fucking place that I can be. This is where they tell me that I'm a piece of shit and I'm no good. That I'm an abuser. That I deserve to be molested. It was my fault. That I was supposed to be beaten. that I was supposed to have cigarettes put out on me because I'm a piece of shit. Come in here and find out that I'm just a fucking human. That shit happens to us is not our fucking fault. Now there is a point that we turn from victim to volunteer to villain. What's up, bro? Oh, I got you. I got you. That's just fucking with you. Don't whoop my ass. If you're here, give yourself a break. Open up the fucking book. Actually read it. Don't go off what everybody just fucking tells you. Because misinformed people will misinform people. Because it sounds good. Because we like to look good, smell good, and be good at all cost. If you're here, give yourself a break. Yeah. If you want this way of life, there's a ton of motherfuckers with all kinds of clean time and experience that can help. Sometimes you just have to get out of self-will and ask for help. Because it's available to us all, but we have to put in some fucking willingness. Is that it? Am I good?
You got your major,
kid. I think this motherfucker throwing up gang signs at me. I don't know what project you're from, but... Oh. Yeah. Give yourself a fucking break. Yeah. Talk to a motherfucker outside of your comfort zone. Self-will is being stuck talking to that dead battery. God's will is talking to that motherfucker that you're really scared to talk to because they may have some fucking insight and experience. Yeah. Oh, thank you, Emily. Oh, thank you, Out of the Darkness. I realize 1998 was my first convention here. I wasn't consistent for all of them because I did some research for the self-will. But give yourself a break. I'm tired of talking. We're going to have to shut this down. Okay. All right.
All righty. Let's give Emily.